listeners. It's me, Marnetta Larimer, host here at Impacting the Classroom. As always, we like to kick off our conversation by asking, what's impacting the classroom? This season, we are so excited to highlight people who are working to promote positive interactions at scale. There are countless programs across the U.S. who are implementing class successfully, but this wave of interactions doesn't stop here. Today, we have Stola Gerhard, who will share what class implementation and interactions look like at his program in Norway. Hello, Stola.
Hello, Manetta.
I feel like I'm going to continue to mess up your name, and I apologize.
No problem.
So I introduced myself. The listeners know who I am. Let's talk a little bit about you. Introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah. For today, I'm representing the FUS kindergartens in Norway. It's a big private group of kindergartens. For now, we are approximately 180 kindergartens across the country. And aside from being an advisor in FUS, I'm also a board member of NIMP, the National Implementation Research Network.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Mm. Private group of kindergarten. Talk to me about that. What does that mean?
Yeah, in Norway, we have both state and private groups of kindergartens. So from my part, my company is one of the largest groups of private kindergartens. So yeah, we have a lot of children in our kindergartens.
Our age group for kindergarten, I think, differs from yours. What is the age range for your kindergarten classes?
In Norway, we have kindergartens from the age from 0 to 6 years of age. So, yeah.
Yes, very different. I can't wait to talk more about what those interactions look like in the classroom, right? And the experiences with your educators. So you shared a little bit. I'd like to know a little bit more about what makes your program special and the values that guide that work. Is that typical for what's happening in Norway?
Yeah, in Norway, we think I have a really big trust in our teachers and their competency. Most of our teachers are educated in the university with a bachelor degree. But I think from our part, we realized that class could add something more to our context in Norway because we don't have measures of any kind, just measures about parent satisfaction about the kindergartens from the head of the department of education in Norway. So we needed to add something more to know about what quality do really the children experience in their interactions with our staff.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that implementation of class with your program?
Yeah, definitely. I think implementation is really close to my heart. and especially in my organization, when we started with using class in FUS in 2019, we were, I think, 12 in the leadership. And we have also additional 180 managers for each kindergarten. So we don't have like a regional leadership. We're actually two at the time in 2019 that are working with the kindergartens for increasing the quality. So we had to start doing some choices about how we're going to implement class and increasing quality in all our classrooms. So we have great colleagues in FUS, and we have created 18 implementation teams across the country that me and my colleagues are cooperating with. And I think the structure that we have used to base our work on is one of our key to that success.
Can you tell us more about the structure?
Yeah, me and my colleagues, Charlotte and Marianne, are the state level implementation team. Could call it that, and then we have the 18 regional implementation teams that are actually supporting the kindergartens. So we, you could call us policymakers, strategic workers. A lot of our work is regarding facilitating, making it possible to like observe every classroom with class.
Was it challenging to get the buy-in to, you know, add class to your programs?
I think we started in 2019 with a study, research of using class as a tool to measure the quality. That started in 2019 with a smaller group of our kindergartens. And based on those findings with the researchers, we found that actually just in 1 year, we could increase the quality quite a bit. And then it was about starting to make structure to scale, actually, the use of class in FUS.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So who's responsible for planning how you collect the class data?
I think we could say that my team is responsible to make the structure or the creative framework for conducting the observations and organize it. But we couldn't do it without the help of the 18 implementation teams that have the experience and the knowledge about the local conditions. So we have a close cooperation with the teams just to make sure that they have the tools that they need and the support they need to actually facilitate the observations. Because actually in FUS, I don't know how it's mostly in the US, but in FUS we have already in 2019 built the capacity to train our own observers. So I facilitate the observation training for the pre-Ks and my colleague for the toddlers.
Oh, nice. And tag team it so you don't have to do all the stuff.
Yeah, so we actually have, I think, approximately 350 observers at this point.
You keep talking about these 18 implementation teams. How did they get formed? How did you determine who was going to make those teams?
Based on the structure in FUS, we have 18 networks, which are for the managers in that region. So they actually got to form their own team, not regulated by us, but choosing some members of their choosing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then we just actually started to have a lot of discussion with them about what should be our work, what should be your work, what's the main goal. And I think based on their competence and our competence, we have created something dynamically. So I think we are dependent of each other, really, in the everyday work.
Very collaborative work.
Definitely. And that's, I think, one of our main, like, have to balance about how much should we decide and how much autonomy they should have to create their own, I think, framework, and also how they should approach using class.
Wonderful. So you've set up a system to where you can do your own class observations. How do you communicate with educators in the weeks leading up to those observations?
Then we usually have like collaborating meetings with the implementation teams, and they have additional meeting with the observers, the managers, and really start informing both the parents and their colleagues about now we're going to conduct the observations. So I think from our experience for now, starting to work really great about what I think the it's no longer misunderstandings about who should do what when the observation is going to go ahead.
Wonderful. What happens after the observation? What is your process? Like, how do you mine that data, and what do you do with the data after that?
To support the observers and the implementation teams, we have a great IT department in my organization. So they quickly start developing an application that we could use to collect those data efficiently. We use the data in my team to assess how is the work going, could we see some differences in the quality, and really not assessing the kindergarten's reality, but also assessing how we support our colleagues out in the kindergartens. The implementation teams in the networks also see the data for their region, and they could pinpoint more exactly what should we do in the next phase about strategy, measures, and really start using the data to make a difference.
So I think my next question would be around the educators, right? So once you've gotten the data and, you know, it tells its story, what kind of coaching is available for the educators?
I think in Norway, we have a system called kindergarten-based quality development. So it's really up to each kindergarten how they use the data after being observed. Usually they get a report and a meeting with the observer, getting the possibility to ask questions about what has been observed, and then the staff for each department or classroom, as you mostly call it, go ahead developing a plan to increase the quality.
Wonderful. Are there any ongoing supports that are offered for them?
I think every day. We have based the structure on we should have at least two of our teachers in each kindergarten that should be a certified class observer at the minimum. Some kindergartens have all the teachers being a class observer, and that especially is based on they shouldn't be depending on an expert from the outside their own kindergarten. They should have the competence in each kindergarten. So it's available in the every day.
Because they are observers, do they ever practice their skills and do like peer mentoring by observing other classrooms?
Yeah. We're based, we have, I think, especially in the autumn, from 1st of September to end of November, every classroom in FUS is being observed. So from our part, it's approximately 800 classrooms observed in a 3-month period. And then actually the support is being there every day, because we have the staff available with the competence in the class, and they have a good access to cooperate with the implementation team in their region. And additional, my team is, I think, pretty much available every day, because this is what we do in our work.
So, you know, off the record, but not really off the record because we're recording, right? How do the educators feel about class? Like, what have you heard from them about class?
I think when we started using class, it was kind of different from what we do in the Norwegian kindergartens. because mostly we our university that are educating the teachers actually is making sure that each teacher know they should use their own competence. And from our point of view, that's definitely important. But we have, I think, 1,500 teachers in educated in FUS. And we need to have like some common ground about what is quality for the children. So regarding that, the Department of Education don't have any measures for some kind of how to measure the quality. We had to like find that ourselves, and we had to go outside Norway to get a tool that is used a lot in research and definitely, I think, shows quality. So then we ended up using Class.
Yeah.
And I think maybe one, you asked me about like, what did the teachers say? I think the first thing they would say is that the class manual is in English.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a barrier for some of them. But getting to know Class, what the Class really is about, I think most of the staff or my colleagues would say that they're really proud of the work we're doing now, because now we could say that we definitely are making sure that we focus on the thing that matters.
You sound like a commercial for us, because those are the things that we say every day.
Yeah.
I don't even have to follow up.
Yeah. All things.
Your parents, right? How are your parents impacted by this? Have they noticed the change? And like, what are they saying about what you've added in the classroom?
I think they're really excited about really making sure that their child has a good day in the kindergarten. Because in the Norwegian context, I think in 2023, I think 93% of the children in Norway attend kindergarten. So
Ooh.
It's a pretty high number. It's mostly yeah. common to attend kindergartens from an early age. And most of the children are actually in the kindergartens up to 40 hours each week. So it's a lot of their wake time in actually attending kindergarten. And from our part, the feedback from the parents are actually that they know that we have a big focus on the quality that their children is experience each day. So
wonderful. It's always great to know that what you're doing is, you know, exact and like impactful, but for the parents to really embrace that and see that makes it even more, you know, rewarding.
Yeah. And we have like parents satisfaction surveys each year. And we could see that the questions regarding how they actually think their children experience staff that are really, I think, want to make sure that they experience high quality each day. It's high. It's according to the scale. So I think that's the most important thing for us. One is to make sure that the children has a good day in the kindergartens, experience a good interaction with the staff, but also like really for a parent to know that if you're going to work, you know that your child is being well taken care of.
In your kindergarten classrooms, you said that it was birth through six. Like, what's the ratio? Like, how many infants, right? Is there a set number of each age group, or what does that look like typically?
Typically, really, it depends on the kindergarten and They could organize it as ever they want. They could have classrooms that are from the age of 1 to 3, but they also could have a mix that are from 0 to 6. So it's really depending on the general managers and the staff and teachers point of view. How could we make sure giving the children the best quality? And we actually allow them to take those take that responsibility, and usually it works out great.
I love that. I love that. You talked some about the barrier of the manual being in English. Are there other things that were a challenge or a barrier to the implementation of class, or were there cultural differences that made adoption a challenge?
Not really cultural barriers, I think, but I think especially the one thing, each employee or my colleague is going to be observed. What they do and what they say in their interaction with the children. So for a lot of my colleagues, that was a big barrier. But I think now we're in the 50th year of using class, and it's much more natural now. They're not so aware of the observer sitting in the corner of the classroom.
So the behaviors that we identify in class, you know, reflect what is happening in Norway.
Definitely. And I think, if you see I don't know if I'm a little bit of a nerd, but if I go to the sources of the class manual, we actually have some of the same references in our education as teachers in Norway. So it's not really that big of cultural differences as
you might think. I love that. I'm glad that I asked that. We talked some about, you know, the values of foods, right? Like high quality meals and everyday magic. Can you talk more about some of those values and how class helps to support them?
Yeah, I think our main values are like having the employees or my colleagues to be fully attending to the children, not just being physical in the room, but really actually seeing each child. So I think that's our main goal. That's why we call our program Child First. And that should reflect all our decisions, not just in the classroom or in each kindergarten, but also should reflect my strategic choices about how we should cooperate with the kindergartens. So it's actually based all through the organization, I think really up to the stakeholders and owners of my organization. So, and if I compare those value and class, I think they go so well together because it's not any differences. And we have like a saying in FUS that we want to set the bar about how the Norwegian kindergarten should make sure that we have kindergartens of high quality. Not just like we could talk about it, but we actually want to know how the quality is.
I love that. Setting the bar, right? So many things you said in that statement.
Yeah.
That's the bar, but also just simply leading with children first, right? Like, makes all the difference in how we attend to the work that we do.
Yeah, and I think because we are also balancing about what we decide in the leadership in our organization, we want to make sure that we have colleagues that take the wise choices out in the kindergartens. So I especially remember one sentence that class focuses on observing what matters. And from our part, we do make a framework of using the class for the kindergartens about what should they focus on. But I think which activities they choose to do, we have like differences in profiles of the kindergartens. We have like some kindergartens that have I don't know what you call it in English, but a Navy profile. They're using go out with the children in boats. They have many different profiles, but that's the choosing for the kindergartens and the staff in each kindergarten. We just like want to make sure we have a framework for assessing the quality of the interactions.
You provide a lot of autonomy to the stakeholders in your space. That's empowering. Very,
like, I think definitely, because we have to do this together. From our part, it will be undermining our colleagues if we make all the decisions. I think we could have some experiences and competence about how to do it, but I think in Norway really based on doing things together and really making the impact together.
That leads me to my next question, because I'm just curious, because I know how it is over here, you know, in the U.S. Mm-hmm. What are some challenges, if any, that your workforce is facing, right? Is there a lot of turnover?
Our main concern now, we have, I don't know what you have for each state in the U.S., but in all, we have a law that says how many staff you have to have per children. And from the age of 0 to 3 years of age, you have to have one staff member. And from the age of 3 to 6, you have to have one for each 6 children. So I think our main goal in not just in FUS, but also all the kindergartens in Norway, we try to impact on the government to really make sure that we have more staff, because we see that the smaller groups, the higher, the better each staff member is going to have good interactions with the children, and we think that they should really invest in making a difference in the kindergartens, not just wait to they're starting in the school or the university and so on. They should make really investment in the kindergartens.
So are they making those investments with the pay? Like, how are they meeting your goal of having more staff so that your ratios reflect what the children need in the classroom?
Actually, in Norway, it's government substances. Like the government pays a lot of money to each kindergarten for each child, and then the parents just pay a small amount each month. So they're really actually doing great work about making sure that most children attend kindergartens. I think that maybe reflects the high percentage of children that actually attends kindergarten. But I think really when we start using class, and maybe before that, we know that how much impact the interactions matter for each children. So if we have a higher number of staff for each children, we could increase and make sure that the quality is what we want it to be.
So you don't have any problem retaining staff?
For now, we have maybe some barriers about educating enough teachers. And I think that's also a concern in my organization, that we should make sure that we have competent teachers that could provide the quality that we want to deliver to both the children and the parents. And also we maybe experience some, I think, after the corona, we saw that, and the COVID-19, we saw that it does make an impact on our staff. Maybe according to stress and some other things. But overall, I think we have a good competence in our staff to make sure that we make the right choices for children. But I think it's an everyday work.
Yeah, I agree. We talked earlier about like ongoing support for your educators. Do you have ongoing supports that address support the stress and burnout they might be feeling because of COVID?
Yeah, the structure we made for really implement class and the child first, we have many supports. Each class observer attends regularly a network for class observers in that region, just to make sure that they have like a network of other observers, share experiences. When they attend observations outside their own kindergarten, but also how they could work internally. And we actually cooperated a little bit with Dean Fixen and the National Implementation Research Network in the US. That's really the structure we have based our work on, using the framework for active implementation. So it's a multi-level support for my colleagues. If they're in need of additional support, either my team or we have a team of mentors or other systems to like really back them and give them the support they need. So it's maybe not perfect, but we try to make sure that we are open for feedback. And so really, it's often the feedback from the staff changes some of the structure.
I love that. Because, you know, it's the same with doing observations, right? You receive this data, this feedback, and you make iterative changes to support that. So can you give us an example of how some class-informed data influenced some specific decisions in Norway?
Yeah, I think I have to, when I mentioned it, I have to take it also back to the like the balance my team try to have all at every decision we make about not taking that autonomy away from each kindergarten. I have actually never called a kindergarten asking what happened with the results from the observation. Because I think we have the competence, and if we have the structure and the support, they're going to make the right choices. And if we see the results for the whole organization back to 2021, actually the results have gone up in every dimension and domain. So we have had a celebration. We have a lot of celebrations because I think we're especially proud of the work that's going on in the kindergartens now, because not once have we called the general manager and told what is happening in your kindergarten now. But we have used the data for my team to make sure that they have the support they need and what they are asking for. So. I think it's really about balance from our part. I could start calling a general manager and ask, what are you doing now to make sure that you have a higher quality? But I think in 3 years' time, we haven't had to do it once. And still, the results after observations are going up. So I think really trusting our colleagues, we could have a discussion and they know where to get the support if needed. But no, it's all about firepower, it's about balance. We know that the implementation in the regions also make sure that every general manager they're doing the work together, and how should we solve it, not just in each kindergarten, but do we need to make some adjustments in our region about implementing class. So I think that's my best answer to that question, is about the balance and trusting our colleagues.
Absolutely.
No matter what level you're on.
And it seems to be working.
Definitely. It's. I think you may have a desire in my position and my team. We could have a desire to like call the general manager and ask what is happening now. But when you have stepped a little bit back and just make sure to create a good enough support system for them, I think it really seems to work. They are eager to make the class observations, and I think in autumn 2023, the main concern for the general managers was that we need to be observed. And then, from our part, that's an indication of having come a long way from 2019.
Absolutely. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? Something, give them something to take away from your work using class at FOOS?
Yeah, I think make sure that you have a good structure and strategy for implementing class. Really talk to your colleagues on each level about what do you need to make a real impact in the interaction with the children. Rather if you are a teacher or if you're a manager or any other position, because I think every one of us needs some kind of support. And then I could give a shout out to Molly, that's our contact person in Teachdon, because she actually supports my team again. So I think if you're open to great discussions, really being interested in what I could do to support you, then it would make a big difference. But you need a structure and you need a system to like make it work.
I love that. Thank you so much, Dola.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was a great honor to be invited to this podcast, and a little bit exciting because English is not my main language. So
you did well. It was great. Lots of wonderful information for our listeners. Thank you again. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's conversation and continue to follow along for another great season. You can find today's episode and transcript on our website, teachdon.com/podcast. And we'd love to know what you think. So please let us know by dropping us a like and a comment on Apple Podcasts or whatever other streaming service that you may be using. Remember that your feedback supports our goal to make content that is for you. Want to send a hey girl hey to me or share thoughts via email? You can do that at podcast@teachdon.com. As always, behind great leading and teaching are powerful interactions. Let's build that culture together.
Thank you to today's team. Marnetta Larimer is our host. Our producers are Isabella Henriksen and me, Megan Cornwell. Editing help is from Castos. You can find Impacting the Classroom on our website at teachdone.com/podcasts, where you can also listen to our other show, Teaching with Class. Impacting the Classroom is a TeachDone production.